Yeah. Сиди на зоне, голая белая, медная, желая, голая, дитя,
Let me remind all of ourselves to cultivate the bodhicitta motivation. that is wishing to accomplish complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating all other sentient beings. And with that kind of motivation, we should all participate in this teaching. And let me read about a page from the text. Now we are reading from the third volume in English translation from the Great Treatise on the Stages of Path Enlightenment, just to give you the blessing of oral transmission.
Nong de mi ba la yun de rang ngang ju ba la ga wa de xin de jiang ba de de bi sem yi la 念吧，你现在学校，现在听你念呗。这可能那不叫看一吧，等那劳动人的写吧，当时写的的，你现在了呀？你没管再学的教吧，劳动来呢，现在俺教个书都教个的，你等他在熊大妈的嘛些，你工人个工把伢这下手，他看起这不是挺疯的，上了个，那个这不是现在来呢，这也没多少，现在这个嘛的是，我提高个是吧？
Geshe-la read about, I think, two pages from the end of page 17. This is volume number 3 of the Great Lamian Text in the English translation. At the end of page 17, where it says, stages of meditation. So Bhavana Krama, Kamalshila's stage of meditation is quoted. And so he read all the way to page number 19, so where you know, it ends before why it is necessary to cultivate both, right? So he read, read about two pages to give you the blessing of all transformation. Now he started to give his explanation or the commentary on what he's read. Remember that a couple of weeks ago we were talking about how can we you know, differentiate between what is calm abiding, or in your translation called serenity, and special insight, or vipassana. So we're trying to define the very nature of these two different you know, states of mind, if you will. And so one of the things that we talked about before was, according to Hoshang Mahayana, you know, where he talks about that we must not you know, entertain any kind of discursive thoughts, good or bad, it doesn't matter. We should just kind of empty our mind and almost be in the state of like thinking about nothing, okay, nothingness. Okay? So as if that is what we call serenity and a special insight. And Jerun Boche or Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa, you know, is critiquing that very position of Hoshang Mahayana, where we said we should stop every kind of thought processes or thinking and just be, you know, think about nothing, okay? And so Jerun Boche, by quoting many different authentic Buddhist sources, such as, where am I? such as, you know, Unraveling Thought Sutra, well, in your translation says Sutra Unraveling the Intended Meaning, and Mahayana Sutra Alamkara, or the Ornament of Mahayana Sutra, and we also, I mean, quoted, you know, other you know, sources such as the Heap of Jewel Sutra or Ratnakuta Sutra, etc. So basically, all of those authentic Buddhist texts, you know, they come to the same thing, that in order to cultivate serenity or calm abiding, really we have to cultivate basically the stability of the mind. How can we set our mind single-pointedly on our focus? Okay, so that is what we call non-discursive, in your translation called stabilization, okay? Meditative stabilization. But when it comes to cultivating special insight of vipassana, really we have to engage in analysis, okay? And we have to do, if you will, analytical, you know, thinking or meditation, because special insight is what we call a discriminative insight, okay? And it is analytical state of mind. So which means basically we cannot simply stop all our thought processes. You know, we have to actively cultivate the stability of the mind and engage in you know, analytical thinking or a meditation in order to cultivate serenity or calm abiding and a special insight. And now we have you know, another quote from great Indian master Ajahn Kamal Shil's Stages of Meditation, or Bhavan Kram, where basically it you know, talks about the same thing, which Geshe-la just read. Yes.
新进门来的了，新进门要把酒吧，现在我要把酒吧，现在我要把酒吧了，那么没得被送烟对酒吧，你新进门要把酒吧，现在我一说，多半是酒吧送烟。
di chöba ni lakdungi mokpa wo xie xie dao xin yu e tong la me doba joba xie ni dang yu tingi la nambar chöba ni lakdungi song disi tanda tilsar wa xita du dong te dish duwa kharsa e ni mikpa lpige ni za yu se che ngar mewa te ni xin ni yinsi ta se che fe ngar yu na lakdungi yinsi e ni tinte rizhi Mikbegon Shayasuri, Tanda Dudu, the Bagawa, Mikbegon Shigmaris, in the Shedawa, the Shinu, because I knew Ladon Yingalia, Nigi Mikbel Shedawa, Shinu Yigai, Chibaris, Mikbegon Shigmaris, Ruat, Mudova, Sunyan, Giovanni, Shine, Shedawa, she was the Jeda, Mikbegon Shigmar, Niga, Shila, Niga, Mikba Chibaris, that Shaya the Garcia was done that, than the Jeremy Ramusina, in it, Karsa. Hine yingan bi rigbe jeba shedob je changbe eni xinjang simbe sozo dobe xerab je ne eni diz kaza xinjang simbe eni xerab tela lakdong sigo res mikba sim zogba zuwa xini di goni eni xinjang simba di xine sigo rima yi ko yi mikba goni di xeba jia yo ma res
Next, there is a quote from Ratna Shanti or instruction for the perfection of wisdom sutra, and so basically here, I think what we're talking about is, I think some critics must have said that if you can set your mind on a focus on an object, you know, undisturbed, but you don't have what we call the clarity or the, what we call the selsa, you know, clarity of the focus, but you are able to set your mind on a focus, something like that. So that would be the understanding of serenity or calm abiding. But when you have the clarity of the focus, then that would be considered as insight or a vipassana. And again, that is not the correct understanding of the difference between calm abiding, serenity, and insight, according to Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa, you know, who quotes different Buddhist sources to make his exposition here. And so basically, what they're making a difference from the point of the from the focal point of view. They said we can differentiate between serenity and insight. But the Lama Tsongkhapa says, you know, both serenity or calm abiding and the special insight could focus on the same object. Okay? In terms of the object, you know, they could be focusing on the same object. So from the focal point of view, we cannot differentiate between calm abiding and special insight. The way we understand the difference between the two is as we try to set our mind on focus single-pointedly, okay? And so when we're able to do that, as a result of our single-pointed concentration on the focus, when we experience, as we talked about this before, physical and mental pliancy and the bliss that arises from that, so that is at that point we have achieved serenity or calm abiding. Now, while maintaining this calm abiding or serenity, as we engage in analytical process of thinking or meditation, right, on the same focus, if you will, yeah. And so when now we experience physical and mental pliancies, which are due to the analytical process of the meditation, and experience bliss that arises from that, so it is at that point we achieve what is called special insight or vipassana. So are you with me? And this is how we should understand the difference between serenity and insight, not from the point of view of the focal object, because I think in your translation, I think it reads, it says, our mind can need to focus on diversity of phenomena, which usually, you know, we translate as conventional phenomena. Yeah, we can either focus on any conventional phenomenon or phenomena, or we can focus on the ultimate nature of phenomena, which is translated here as which represents the real nature. Right? In other words, we can focus on any of the two truths, conventional truth or the ultimate truth, or conventional phenomenon or ultimate phenomenon, we could still cultivate serenity and spiritual insight. So the understanding the difference between the two should be understood from the subjective point of view, if you will, not from the objective or the focal point of view. Then we have a quote from a Sutra Unraveling the Intended Meaning. And Gisela read that passage where basically Maitreya asked Buddha a question, and he said, what should we focus on for serenity or calm abiding, and what should we focus on for special insight or vipassana? And so Buddha explains here in the words he said, the Buddha replied, one, namely a non-discursive image. So that means that when we cultivate serenity or calm abiding, mental quiescence, tranquility, we must not engage in any kind of examination or analysis. It has to be simply setting our mind on a focus on an object. That is considered non-discursive. Okay? Non-discursive image here in the sense that when we focus our mind on something, we are basically focusing on the mental image of whatever the object is, with me, because we are not able to set our mind, directly on a focus. We are engaged in technically what we call the generic image of a focus. Right? We take to our mind of the image of a focus object, and then we set our mind on the image of that object. We are really not setting our mind on the object per se, are you with me? But the image of that object in our mind. Okay? And that is technically called the generic image or tunji in Tibetan. Okay? And so when we set our mind simply on that image of a focus without examination analysis, so then we are really engaged in what we call serenity meditation or calm abiding meditation. But as we maintain that serenity or calm abiding, and then analyze, examine, right, the focus of the object, then we are engaged in what we call analytical meditation for spiritual insight or vipassana. So the vipassana meditation or spiritual insight involves the discursive thought, meaning the analysis, the analytical process, if you will. And then at the end of the quote, it says, how many objects of both are there? Two, namely, the limits of existence and achievement of your purpose. The explanation given on this is basically the limitless of existence means we can take any phenomenon as a focus for cultivating serenity and insight.
Mm-hmm. Any repetitive machine to any tongue as the what did cover him to jail. Tim Kunya Muda, you can tell one son, Shagamari, music by your race.
And then there is a quote from Asanga's Compendium of Knowledge or Abhidharma Samukshaya. And where again the same terminology comes up. What does the limits of existence mean? And according to this Compendium of Knowledge, limits of existence refer to both what we call conventional phenomena and ultimate phenomenon. Okay? And so we cannot, again, we're making the same point here but quoting a different source, that we cannot distinguish between serenity, calm abiding, and insight from the focal point of view. So that is to say that we could cultivate serenity or calm abiding focusing on a conventional phenomena, okay? Or we can cultivate serenity or calm abiding focusing on ultimate phenomena, okay? In the same way, we can cultivate special insight focusing on a conventional phenomenon or special insight focusing on ultimate phenomena. So that is to say that object doesn't seem to make the difference in terms of what is serenity and what is insight, okay? But the difference between the two is understood through the subjective experience point of view, as we were talking earlier, that in case of serenity, you know, really the main thing we're trying to do is set our mind single-pointedly on a focus, whatever the focus is. As we try to do that, and of course the understanding is go through the mental process development, whenever we experience pliancies of body and mind, physical and mental pliancies, through that process, then we achieve calm abiding or serenity. Now, as we focus on whatever we focus on and engage in the discursive thought, meaning examination, analysis, analytical process thinking, by following that analytical process, whenever we achieve physical and mental pliancies, okay, our body and mind become very serviceable. And we can make them do, you know, almost anything we want. Okay, that's the understanding. And when we reach that point, this is where, you know, we achieve special insight or vipassana. So the special insight comes through analytical processes, and serenity or calm abiding simply comes through setting our mind on a focus.
Sakbadi cheber the tone and Lagno Shaw. Conda, my dear diamond, could you cheber the carriage yoga center? Mikwal Pigay, Zuzu, Mikwal, the same table top, Yane, Piggy, losing change on the tani, but did it in Cheber Jetella and Shinese Severus. That dig on the Shinigan only Cheba Shiva repeat Tumble top, any Shinjan and the Shinik of the Shinjan losing Shinja Tela Yagaj Town, Lapper, but don't you Tonga, Lapper Tonga, and then did it
And Compendium of Knowledge further states, meditative serenity, which I mean calm abiding, is your mind quieting movement toward external objects and then abiding on an internal object of meditation. Insight, which is vipassana, is superior or special seeing. So here, and when we try to set our mind on a focus, And we don't do any kind of analysis or examination. And through this kind of what we call single-pointed placing our mind on a focus, when we experience physical and mental pliancies, we experience or achieve, as we said, serenity or calm abiding. Now, while abiding in that serenity or calm, being in that calm state of mind, as we engage in analytical process or meditation and experience physical and mental pliancies, then we achieve, as I said, special insight. The Tibetan word lak thong, lak means seeing something more or, extra. Thong means to see. So through the analytical process, we are able to, have more in-depth understanding of the object, right? When we simply try to set our mind on a focus, right? And when we try to analyze it, through this analytical process, we could see something that we didn't see before. That's the understanding of lak thong, okay, special insight. Well, the English word special didn't say that, okay? But seeing something more, in other words, lak thong means seeing something more, okay? And that seeing something more could be seeing emptiness, perhaps, or it could be seeing something that we didn't see before through a calm abiding process.
Okay. Kasa rigpe seje ngar mewa sede zanla yinji seje ngar menge de chingwa chamu tata jer mwe zunna chingwa chamu di tanda shini rigwa marta kanji o di shini che ta seje ngar tongde zanla ngar yuwa ina ta tanda ngangzo shetan shini shini ngone de rigwa sheta seje ngar yuwa gwa ngar mewa de ya ini shini che ngar yunga de le lakdong si mazu ji yu yu gwa ni kaya tokja sike kewa si mduwa o duksi ini kewa nji duksi gwa kaji kasi na Neva
And at the end of page 18, it reads, some claim that a mind resting in a non-discursive state without vivid intensity is serenity, while such a mind with vivid intensity is insight. This is not correct because it contradicts the definition of serenity and insight that are established at length in sources such as, the Unraveling False Sutra, stages of meditation and other sutras that we quoted. Okay? So the point here is, some scholars in this particular case claim that when you cultivate a serenity to calm abiding, where you have what we call quite a good clarity of the focus of the mind. Okay, you can probably see the object very clearly in your mind, but it simply lacks the intensity of the clarity. Okay, so when you reach that state, according to them, now you have developed the serenity or calm abiding. But when you, develop the intensity of that clarity, see, it is that point you achieve the insight or the vipassana. And Jerome is saying that that's completely wrong understanding of serenity and insight. Because, you could achieve, pretty decent concentration or focus on an object. And you may see the object very clearly, but you may not have the intensity of the clarity. Why? Because of the subtle, what we call, laxity. Okay, subtle dullness could still be very present there. You feel like, okay, I'm seeing the thing so clearly, this must be it. Yeah. Well, you have still not identified clearly the subtle laxity or the dullness. It is still playing its trick. So you really haven't achieved the serenity or the calm abiding that is talked about in authentic Buddhist texts. Yeah? According to authentic Buddhist texts that we quoted, many of them already here, is that calm abiding or serenity is free of all kinds of laxity and excitement, coarse and subtle, period. Okay. Whereas special insight is seeing something more than, more... it's nothing to do with intensity of the clarity. Are you with me? So this is one of the clarifications offered here.
Chebar the sim medal rebessage and her you mean it is the show you mean she like the military she need the thing in the Tamjil, she wants some she was on Eva Gula. She wanted to be thing in the Tamjil, sim Tangja thing, sim Tangja Eva Moon, she rose, she said, that the Lung give a Mazi Jonah get under in the Sage and Army of the Yumi Chavajo Miridi. In Hine Gangalia, any Chiman Jebus, Chiman Jason, the Sajan Hario do this is the Hine Gangalia, any Chiron Devanation, Hine Gangal, the Ladon Red Rusio, conscious that Sajan Hario Chavroa, or did Tigros, but did Midday any Hine in a Chiman Sang, Chiman Sanson, similar Sajan Hario with Din, any Hine in a general in the Ladon Chavis or Red Rutus, said the Dingava Dus, you know. Oh, never go la. She wants to be thinking of Tangela. Same year, Sajan Yawan Shir was his shadow. She wanted the dollar in the Sajan Garium with charges. The thing is the thing by you. She had a thing in your thing is going to be how to read those starting digits in the Tangola.
Nice. We're on page 19, right at the top. We are continuing with the same kind of a debate here. That not only that your understanding, meaning we're telling those critics, your understanding of serenity and insight is wrong or incorrect, that contradicts the definition, the standard definitions of what they are in the Buddhist texts. From our point of view, that serenity or calm abiding has to be free of any kind of laxity or dullness. So when your mind is free of dullness, you really have this intense clarity of the focus. Okay, that is what the calm abiding means, or the serenity. Yeah, but for you, that would become special insight. See, because you said that serenity involves what we call the clarity of the focus. And when you are free of dullness, you really have the clarity of the focus. So, which means you have to accept that state of mind is insight or vipassana, which makes no sense. Okay, so which is you really.
Look around, any Dominic Carons dog or Mizil, any Collier, Sajan, are you may have told any Damit of a law in Saint Digmaris? Damit of a law said, in Tony Utishin dog or Mother Jill, because Sajan are you at the Damit of a Sigmar was? What is it? That Lagdon Rigmaris.
Tony Shinane, Tony Tolls,
Shinida, Shinanda, Lagdon inanda, Tony Tomot, because Toba Jogger at Look around, but. In the Tony Yudish dog or mother, same they say it gets a deal, my his one. Look on a dog model. The Colonel is in the Yud gets up into a semi in the bill. They say, but over the Sajan are you in the age? How don't regular, don't you love a lot? Don't regular, said that you get up into a said that that generation you don't you call a youth sugar mother. You call look on a December to be me, shall I deal my his one.
And moreover, when we talk about special insight or lagdham vipassana, that really has to, involve what we call understanding or realization, okay? Because insight means you gain understanding into or realization into truth or phenomenon here. And so in the case of, special insight with regard to emptiness or shunyata, that special insight has to realize what emptiness really is. It's not enough for this mind to simply stay focused on emptiness as an object. It has to realize and understand, right, what emptiness is. Okay? And so when we cultivate calm abiding with regard to emptiness, you do have the intense clarity of what the emptiness is, but you may lack the understanding of the realization of emptiness. Yeah? But from your point of view, when we have that intense clarity of the focus, that is insight. So then you have to accept that calm abiding on emptiness really sees what emptiness is, which is not not the way it is. Because insight or the lagong that we see something more, you know, with regard to emptiness, it really sees what emptiness is. What we are trying to refute here is the critic's viewpoint that if you have this what called serenity with intensity, now that is insight. Okay, so you know we are trying to refute that position. And so here, again, we're continuing with our debate, if you will. And the point is being made that, you know, we do accept, from our point of view, that non-Buddhist practitioners could also cultivate non-discursive serenity or calm abiding. As a matter of fact, many of they might have that kind of state of mind, okay, where they have really intense clarity of whatever the focus they have chosen for themselves, okay, and but they don't have any understanding or realization of emptiness, and they don't need. In order to have serenity or the calm abiding, it's not necessary that one has to understand or realize emptiness. Okay, emptiness, and whereas it is possible that you know one could have the realization of the understanding of emptiness as well as serenity or the calm abiding. And therefore, it says, you know, in order to cultivate a serenity, we don't have to have understanding of something. What we really need is to be able to set our mind, you know, undisturbed, single-pointedly on a focus. And whenever we experience, as we said, pliancies of body and mind, it is at that stage we have the serenity. We may not have the understanding of emptiness, okay, but we do have the serenity or shamatha, if you will. The process by which you know one experiences pliancies of body and mind and bliss which arises from that is when we, let's say, if we are cultivating serenity or calm abiding, you know, we try to set our mind on whatever the focus is, And as we go through this mental development process, in the footnote, we will talk about this later, as you can see. Okay? And so whenever, and we reach a state where our mind is free of laxity and excitement, jingle, like a dullness and mental agitation, okay? Then what happens is that the wind energy, okay, the energy in the body become very serviceable, okay, become very functional. And as the wind flow very smoothly in the body, that gives rise to physical and mental pliancies. Okay? And those pliancies generate blissful experiences. Okay? So in order to experience pliancies of body and mind and the bliss arising from that, we really don't have to realize what emptiness is. Okay? Without understanding of emptiness, we could still experience physical and mental pliancies and bliss arising from those pliancies. Are you with me? So as a matter of fact, in any kind of what we call authentic meditative states or the concentrations must be characterized by pliancies. Okay. So now when the critics say that when you experience pliancies of body and mind and the bliss arising from that due to the intense clarity of the object, and then they consider that as an insight, so they really got the whole thing wrong. Because pliancies could arise from calm abiding experience, pliancies could experience through analytical meditation or the what we call special insight meditation.
And it reads here,
therefore, since bliss, clarity, and non-discursiveness are present in concentrations that know emptiness, yet very often occur in concentrations that are not directed towards emptiness, you have to differentiate these two. And so what the critics have been saying all the way along, this is a certain kind of critics, not all critics, is that when you cultivate concentration, you reach a stage where your concentration has clarity, but no intense clarity. So then that means that is the serenity state. But once your concentration picks up the intense clarity, then it is the insight, right? So you have really not been able to differentiate clearly between what is calm abiding serenity and what is special insight of vipassana. Okay, because as we just read, it says that there are practitioners who cultivate calm abiding with regard to emptiness. So these practitioners have this intense clarity of what emptiness is, but at the same time there could be many more practitioners who cultivate serenity or calm abiding with regard to conventional phenomena, that which is not emptiness, okay, but they don't have the realization of what emptiness is. Okay? So in other words, that serenity and insight cannot be differentiated from the focal point of view, and they cannot be differentiated in terms of whether your clarity has intensity or not. Okay? And so therefore, you really have to think through again. You know, we are saying that you have to think through again through your positions, because you are not making any sense here, and maybe you have to come up with different explanations.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So
So let's kind of refresh our mind with some of the outlines we laid out before. We are dealing with how to train our mind in the last two perfections. In other words, I think serenity, or calm abiding, and spiritual insight, vipassana. And under that, we have six what are called sub-points. And we already talked about the benefits of cultivating serenity and insight. We talked about how these two include all states of meditative concentration. We just finished talking about the nature of serenity in insight. Now the next sub-point is why it is necessary to cultivate both. Okay? So our question has been raised, why can't we choose one of the two, right? Why can't we just have either calm abiding or insight? Why do we have to bother with both, so what's the reason? And so now at the bottom of page 19, right, it says why it's necessary to cultivate both, and Geshe-la read over to page 20. And so explanation is given here, example is given here, why we need both. So, of course, this example is more applicable to the ancient times, right, when we didn't have electricity. So we had to use the butter lamp in Tibet, as we can say. So at night, if you want to enjoy this mural wall paintings or whatever, tanka paintings, right? So if you light a butter lamp, okay, and if the butter lamp has the brightness, or, the lamp is really strong, it can give you enough brightness to see the painting. But you also need something else. You need to protect the lamp from the blowing of the wind, right? Otherwise, the wind can disturb the flame. And although the flame has the power to illuminate the painting, but because it's disturbed, so now it's flickering and you really don't see the murals or the paintings. You see that? So what really we need is the brightness of the lamp as well as the stability here, so to speak, that the flame is not disturbed by any kind of the wind. Okay. So in the same way, in order for us to be able to really realize what selflessness is, or what selflessnesses are, or emptiness is, for that matter, right? We need both serenity, or calm abiding, and insight. Yeah. The reason is that without the serenity or calm abiding, our mind, it becomes very wavering, and it loses its the power to focus on emptiness and do the investigation. So we need serenity or calm abiding so that we can really focus on selflessnesses or emptiness. And then we need a special insight, because calm abiding doesn't see things, right? So we need insight to be able to understand what selflessnesses are, or what emptiness is. So we may try to cultivate insight into emptiness without calm abiding, but then it won't become a very effective cultivation of insight. We need calm abiding or serenity so that our mind can use its power to really stay focused on whatever the object is, in this particular case, emptiness. Yeah. Once we have that stability of the mind to focus on emptiness, now we need insight or the vipassana to be able to discern, to be able to ascertain, if you will, or realize what emptiness is. So therefore, we need both. You know, we can't have one and not the other.
That is even using of the Govind Parva less. He needs to have a lot of money again. Ninja will see you the number you want to get. Long enough to be my making them a major role.
We have a citation from Kamal Shil's Stages of Meditation, which reads on page 20, with bare insight that lacks serenity, the yogi's mind is distracted by objects. Like an oil lamp in the wind, it will not be stable. For this reason, what sublime wisdom sees will not be very clear. So the point that's being made here is that should one cultivate insight into emptiness without cultivating serenity or calm abiding, okay? So our state of mind will be very wavering state of mind, and it won't be effective and powerful to realize what emptiness is. And the metaphor that's given here is, if you light a candle or a butter lamp and put out in the windy place, that flame will be wavering all the time, because it's nothing wrong with the flame or its brightness per se. It's just that the wind is disturbing the flame. Okay? So it can't illuminate the things. In the same way, when we don't have the stability of the mind, we try to engage in emptiness and try to discern it, our mind won't be powerful to be able to ascertain what emptiness is. So the point being made here is, in order to realize emptiness, we should cultivate serenity or calm abiding first. So when we have the stability of the mind, we can really focus on whatever we want to focus on, then we should engage in analysis and cultivate insight into emptiness.
Mm.
To make the same point, we have a quote from Mahaparinirvana Sutra, or the Great Final Nirvana Sutra. So let me read the passage and then translate the explanation given here. I quote, Shravakas do not see the lineage of the Tathagatas because their concentration is greater than their wisdom. Bodhisattvas see it, but unclearly, because their wisdom is greater than their concentration. The Tathagatas see everything because they have serenity and insight in equal measure. Yeah. So what this really means is Shravakas, or the what we translate as hearers, okay? So they are not able to see the lineage of the Buddha. Tathagatas means, I would say, the Buddha nature. Okay, usually we translate it as the Buddha nature. Now, Buddha nature is of different kinds. There is what we call, developable Buddha nature, that which can be developed. Okay, and then there is the natural abiding Buddha nature. In other words, the emptiness of the mind. Okay, yeah. So when we say that Shravakas do not see the lineage of the Tathagatas, we are saying that the Shravakas, do not realize that kind of Buddha nature, naturally abiding Buddha nature. Why? Because they lack wisdom. They do have certain good concentration power, but they lack the wisdom. So therefore, they are not able to see that kind of a Buddha nature. Okay. Whereas Bodhisattvas are able to see the naturally abiding Buddha nature clearly, but compared to Buddhas, they don't see it as clearly as, Buddhas could see it. And the explanation given here is, it's kind of technical here, but in Buddhist literature, how we talk about that an enlightened being, or enlightened beings, Buddhas, could remain in the state of meditative equipoise on emptiness, but at the same time, simultaneously, they can benefit sentient beings. They can work for sentient beings. Yeah, that's because of enlightened powers. Yeah. Why Buddhas are able to do that and nobody else below the level of enlightenment? Because Buddhas have cultivated calm abiding or serenity and spiritual insight by equal measures. Okay, they are equally powerful in Buddha's mind. Now the Bodhisattvas, when they are in meditative equipoise on emptiness, they see what emptiness is, but then they can't do anything else. They are just kind of locked into that. Until they come out of that state, then they can benefit sentient beings or do whatever the things they do for sentient beings. See that? So in terms of the clarity of what Bodhisattvas see, it's not equal to what the Buddhas could see, because Buddha's omniscient wisdom is far greater in terms of insight than Bodhisattvas' insight. Now in the case of the Shravakas, okay, they are not able to see the naturally abiding Buddha nature because of lack of their wisdom, although they may have certain great concentration power. Okay. So those are the different perspectives we can see, because different perspectives on emptiness, for example. The Shravakas have a different perspective of emptiness than the Bodhisattvas, and the Bodhisattvas have a different perspective than the Buddha. So the best is the enlightened being's perspective that sees everything, as stated here.
Pangbe, Shendag, Mishete, and our driven doors, Sigidu, Sinitovji, Yoame Banjo, Hadon, Kene, Red and Java, your shares of a double was. That did a Hilas, Unguia did a door, any Tonjiwa Dodena, any Karsahini, Mena, any Long Nang Marmina, you read the words. That young Sinema, any Karsate, Tony Double Mena, Mamma Messiah, because Nilu Tayo Marva. She said, Queen Yingas Domni, Kazi, Tawang Yabasi, the repetitive was in the big leg unit of Tony Jugo de Marade, Kazi, Tony da, any leg units of Kanji, Pig, Gubu Nilu, the repet and parts of the Zan, any pay you go, I shall not pick a lag here, Yomar, or repet on the town, the ten Pajana, and the call, Nevany, the call, Shiva Yomarva. But this any Hine, you have that thing in it. Because if nature you ever say, in the into Sungrishan and Gomes of Javina, in the big Nubashi Botonia, big Tonto Grace, but that kind of Tava Tavio Tosho Warawa, but he lost some Rimino Toto Warawa. Because Tava Tavala, don't you do, Casa, don't you do the Hine, don't you do the Pesavala, don't you, Hine, don't you, Mr. Gomdena, yeah. any tongue toy and possible yomara. What did it say?
Let me read the short passage Geshe read from the text on page 20. With the power of serenity, your mind, like a lamp placed where there is no wind, will be unmoved by the winds of discursive thought. With insight, others cannot divert you, since you have abandoned the infinite entanglements of bad views, how to translate wrong views. As the Moon Lamp Sutra, Chandra Pradipa Sutra says, the power of meditative serenity makes your mind steady. Insights make it like a mountain. Now, the explanation given on this is that, you know, without serenity or calm abiding, our mind will remain in a very wavering state, and therefore it really lacks the power to be able to focus on anything. And so, without being able to focus on anything, it's very hard to develop insight into object or, you know, phenomena. So the example we use, remember, is if we don't have calm abiding or serenity, it's just like we have this clear lamp or candlelight put in the windy place. Okay? However bright that lamp is, it's being disturbed by the winds. So in the same way that whatever insight we try to cultivate, because our mind is so wavering, you know, we will not be successful or effective in cultivating insight into you know, truths or realities. And so the point here is that we really need both stability or the serenity and the insight, and with both of them, we will be able to you know, accomplish liberation, nirvana, and enlightenment. Now let's talk about just the liberation. In order to achieve liberation, we must realize emptiness. Okay, the ultimate nature of phenomena. In order to realize emptiness, we really have to have the stability of the mind. Without that serenity of the calm abiding, even if we try to realize emptiness, you know, it may take a long time and we may still fail to realize what emptiness is. So based upon the stability of the mind, when we do analytical meditation, then we are able to discern or realize what emptiness is. So in other words, without serenity, it's hard to think of, you know, being able to achieve path of seeing, which is the direct realization of emptiness. Okay? So without realizing emptiness, you know, we will never be able to achieve nirvana or liberation from our single existence. Forget about enlightenment. Okay? So the point being made here is, where is it? I was going to say something here. So with insight, special insight, we will be able to cut through, abandon means we will be able to cut through the infinite entanglements of bad views. In other words, we will be able to cut through the network of wrong views. Okay, wrong views such as, you know, the, what are called, there is no law of cause and effect. Okay, wrong views pertaining to the ultimate nature of phenomena. The ultimate nature of phenomena or emptiness is established based upon reasonings, objective reasonings. Okay? So therefore, you know, anybody can examine and analyze, investigate it, they will never be able to prove it wrong. Whatever emptiness is, when it's established through valid reasoning, anybody can test it and they should be able to realize you know, what it is.
Karsha de Hinin Devi Hini Hini Devani Hini La Jinila. Da maybe took on your thought, da the Tawa La Sopi, Tawang Yamanam Pang de Pay Go Gumini be written down, how don't you like Jimmy? Ten Sozor Shaver Showers, he said the Hila Sundu Gunga at the Teres River, and then simply Mikwa Kawadi, don't you like 90 degrees, don't you my 77 shan, because you saw the Kabashas and Deputy Dutoya de any Hini La Jeres. That Karsa, there Karsa, Dom, 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 Dom,
And you'll read the second last paragraph on page 20. And I'm not going to read it there, but the explanation given here is we must understand that serenity or calm abiding and special insight vipassana, they produce different outcomes of the results. Okay, what we get out of cultivating calm abiding serenity is that we are able to place our mind, single-pointedly on any focus of the object that we choose to focus on. Okay, so that would be the outcome of cultivating stability of the mind or serenity. Whereas when we cultivate special insight, if you will, that we are able to, able to understand what is the truth from that which is not the truth. In other words, we have all kinds of wrong views inside us. For example, we misperceive that which is selfless as being having self. Okay? With insight, now we are able to establish what is selflessness, what is emptiness, how do phenomena actually exist. Okay, so we are able to get rid of misconceptions with regard to that. Or we have a misconception that that which is impermanent as being permanent. We have grasping at permanence of things and life. So that kind of a misconception can be eliminated and abandoned by cultivating, special insights. And so therefore, the outcomes, the results of these two, serenity and insight, are very different, and we should, understand the difference. So this will read based on to page 21, I think the opening paragraph there. And the explanation given on this one is that without a serenity or calm abiding, even if we try to understand emptiness is, we may not be able to understand emptiness really well. And that's because our mind will be very wavering state of mind, just like the candlelight, burning outside in the windy place. Okay? And so the thing to understand is, in order to free ourselves from cyclic existence of samsara, we need to eliminate delusions or afflictive emotions from our state of mind. Okay? To be able to do that, we must realize emptiness directly or non-conceptually. Okay? But in order to have non-conceptual realization of emptiness or the direct realization of emptiness, first we have to have conceptual understanding of what emptiness is. Okay? So when we focus on emptiness initially, what can we do is we can take the generic image of emptiness in our mind and we can analyze or focus on that. So we can only have a conceptual understanding of emptiness. But when we lack the serenity or the stability of the mind, we may not be able to have a very clear generic image of what emptiness is. So therefore, we may have difficulty understanding what emptiness is. Remember early we made a point that it may be possible to understand emptiness without serenity. But to realize emptiness, right, realization is very different, we must have serenity or calm abiding first. Okay? When we have our mind very stable, right, we can really very firmly stay focused on emptiness, then we can engage in discursive analysis of the thought through which we can realize what emptiness is. Once we have the stability of the mind, we can do any kind of analysis, investigation, and our mind won't be distracted. Our mind will remain very firm. So that's the stability of the mind really helps us to do the necessary analysis or the investigation of what emptiness is, and therefore it really facilitates understanding and realization of what emptiness is. And so in this particular case, being able to focus our mind on emptiness, that is the outcome of serenity or calm abiding. Being able to realize emptiness is not the outcome of serenity, but that is the outcome of insight or vipassana. And so the point, once more time, I'm restating my point here, is to be able to have really correct and conceptual understanding of what emptiness is, the clarity of emptiness in our mind, we have to cultivate serenity or the stability with regard to emptiness first. Okay? So that calm abiding will allow us to be able to engage in deep analysis, and through that process we can realize what emptiness is. Once we have the serenity, our mind can remain undisturbed, however much investigation or analysis we do.
Any good never shut down to the idea you were to the long way of the Joyati, Chinese, but this one I knew never to talk to worries, but that's the worries.
So now going back to our the analogy or the metaphor here about the bright lamp or the candlelight in the particular case, is the bright lamp can illuminate things. That's like a special insight, right? It can illuminate, it can realize things. But the bright lamp alone is not enough because it needs to be protected from the disturbances from the wind. Okay? If the wind is disturbing the flame, then even though it has a brightness, it will lose its brightness, so to speak, and then we may not be able to see things clearly. In the same way, if we lack serenity or calm abiding, our mind stays wavering and we may not be able to see things clearly. But if with serenity, with calm abiding, it is just like the flame is protected from the wind. So therefore, now we are able to see, see the things clearly through special insight.
Nice.
So we will stop there, and I've been asked to say a few words about how to engage in Buddhist path and practice. As many of you probably know, in order to become a Buddhist, you know, to engage in Buddhist path as a Buddhist, you know, one must take refuge in Triple Gems or the Three Jewels, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Okay, going for refuge in Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, right, is essential to become a Buddhist. And then based on that, if one is going to receive, say, tantric initiation, because there's what's called the major empowerments and initiations and the minor empowerments and initiation. Let's say you are going to take, say, long life empowerment of Amitayus or, you know, say, Vaitara or something. In that particular case, you have to receive bodhisattva vows. Okay, so in addition to the practice of refuge, you will be receiving, or you will have to, commit to a bodhisattva vows. Now, in the case of because Buddhism has four classes of tantras. Okay, in the case of the lower tantras, action and performance tantras, you know, you have to take bodhisattva vows, but no tantric vows. In the case of the two higher tantric classes, yoga tantra and Mahanuttara yoga tantra, highest yoga tantra, in addition to the bodhisattva vows, one must take tantric vows, okay? And so what I'm saying here. So to be a Buddhist, yeah, the door to enter into Buddhist path and practice as a Buddhist is to go for refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. And if you are going to take any initiation, empowerment, because that naturally belongs to Tantrayan, which is part of the Mahayana, so therefore, the door to enter into Mahayana Buddhism is bodhicitta, cultivating bodhisattva's attitude. Okay, that is the entrance to Mahayana Buddhism. And so in order to practice any kind of tantra, higher or lower, one must cultivate bodhicitta. And in the case of lower tantras, if you receive any initiations there, you must be willing to take bodhisattva vows. In the case of higher tantras, yoga and Mahanuttara yoga tantra, in addition to the bodhisattva vows, you will be taking tantric vows. I mean, do you see the clear picture sort of thing? So I just want to say a few words about that because I've been asked to say that.
Okay.
All right, let's go back to the more fun part, question and answers. So there's the mic there, yeah.
Hi, thank you, Geshe-la. So I think it was maybe a few weeks back I'd asked the question about a valid inferential understanding of emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I think in the light of what and what we've discussed today, I wonder, is the quality of that then is like the flame that's unprotected, right?
Uh-huh.
So you can't really rest or hold it for very long.
Mm-hmm.
So is this analogy similar to the analogy of negating too much or negating too little?
Oh, I see. All right. Kenti kanti shuro nasa.
Yes.
Ta tunda kase jenge liya kurangi vidi kanti shubra karso gore. Cheba sama ke shishan tongi tokdan shuro wagen. Tadi dirwa gen, tuinche de debe tokdan dirwa gen. Kisi dinde jik chebe ina, ta tante tiling kamer nang da chebe ina, ane tadi sigubita, ta shine roch mebe ina rwa gen. Ti tongi toa de sem yangi ingi chene rwa. Ko cheba sama toji toa de yabu shtogu ma res rwa gen. Ta dinde kwe di dili ya chungde dange do gen, di to kuji cheme do. So tiling kisi she de, di che du kala, dili dewa yorwa su, ta gansu gen, tanda dirwa. Tanda kasa gen. Gaza kau tu kalau rupa kan, gaza kau cahap dah, gaza kau cuma dah. Di negeri kita nyorong mampu cahap kan, di sana jawab yang lebih sedo kan. Tunggu kau tu gaza rupa kan, gaza kau cahap dah cuma. Di negeri jawab yang lebih sedo dah.
Gaza kau cahap cuma di negeri kita ni.
Di dah ada di negeri kita kan di tanda ganjil kesian di negeri kita jawab semua. Di negeri kita kan di semua di negeri rupa kan. Ah tunggu kasa dah, jago tu tahu awal ya. Ani sini yang elku kule sini mana kan sendiri yang ini sini. En lumbar kita mami tahu leh selalu rupa kan. Jadi kau di dah di jawab tak kau selalu dah tunggu tu.
Chabasamaruachan. 有的没得现在，啷个都得得跑不休息，要嘛是吧？但得跑是你现在弄，只有当当用过是吧？但得当当干的是过是吧？他妈干那东西都用嘛是吧？看见干啥干些，那那连着不给，缺口那没把的是不？什么东过是吧？他配角的东西忙不要是吧？但干啥干些，那那那个吃上干嘛了？因从老多的吃上黑嘛是吧？过，啥把子嘛都全部黑多嘛是吧？现在干啥工资呢？
别人都不干啥，我们自己开什么修理噻？你就在那里，可是干啥都没事。我的干啥干，叫啥的，什么刚刚不给他，没事，那你一般什么东西都偷嘛？这是是吧？但一般什么东西都，其他别人不修理的，现在，你心里面呢，可别没事，可能就东西工资工资的，现在这个统统都要着不，帮着帮着让车要嘛？这是。
In
order to what are called realize emptiness through inferential valid cognition. Okay. It is, you know, essential for us to be able to precisely identify the object of negation that was just refuted. As you pointed out, if we refute too much, okay, in which case we might become a nihilist. Now we said nothing exists at all, right? Even everything that exists, we just kind of like, okay, nothing exists. Do whatever the hell you want to do, right? He didn't say hell, but, you know. Right. We got a problem. And if we don't refute enough of it, then we could still not be able to precisely understand what emptiness is, because we could still be clinging to some coarse understanding of emptiness or the wrong view of emptiness. So we got a problem. So I think that's why when we talk about the theory and practice of emptiness, you know, the step number one, we said we really have to make sure we understand what is being refuted, what is the object of negation. Yeah. Now, assuming that we have refuted exactly what is to be refuted, then we could cultivate inferential understanding of emptiness is. Okay? But that kind of understanding, I mean, it's a correct understanding of emptiness, but without serenity or calm abiding, that understanding may not be able to help us to be liberated from samsara. Because, you know, what happens is we need to, as if you will, we need to remove the layers of generic images of conceptuality so that we can directly realize, non-conceptually realize what emptiness is. Okay? This is where we find the path of seeing. But to get there, we must have a serenity or calm abiding, without which our mind is not powerful enough to realize emptiness at that level. Okay? Does that answer your question? Okay. Very good. Yeah,
thank you, Geshe-la. In terms of preparing for Tantra, I understand you said that you have to take refuge vows and bodhisattva vows and prepare to take tantric vows and ensuing commitments. But can you also say something on the preliminary practices of prostration or water bowl offerings or vajrasattva mantras? Is a number important or... Okay. Is just merely doing them important before empowerment?
Okay.
Thank you.
Ke danda kach du dishna songa bena chi karso gore ta bana nangba ka salam shub ka san nangba che da kyam che gore wa ge andi ne chi karso da gyu di ongma ro chi wang shu che wen ne ani chang ju sem ba ma shu gore wa ge chi ju kong me shu wen ne chang ju sem ba ma ga lang ga gu ma shu che gore ne ka na song ma se se da da ne di se ki ne ka na du gore se kon chi da gi da di zu
Alam 지금 And Tarva Toguinanda, Kanji, Turi Toguinanda, Kanji, Longdor, Dibunga, Jugo, or what did you go to Dibajanga, the Dibajanga, Yoshapia, any sorcery in Ajara? That Dungyan, the Dosisibu, this had the Dibasha Ajara. She's only Dibashan the source at the Ajara, she's not done those are hard.
Yes, you know, the preliminary practices. That we could engage in could be doing prostrations or making what we call water bowl offerings, or you also mentioned the Vajrasattva meditation and recitation. Now first let me answer that question in terms of the number, how important the number is. I mean, usually we say the number is not important, then we say why do we put numbers on that? The number is just to, for you to be able to get a sense of how much you have done and rejoice in what you have done. Okay, but more important is the quality. You know, you do it really properly. Not so much in how many times you did it, but did you do it really properly or not? And in the case of this, like preliminary practices, like such as prostrations and doing water bowl offering, the thing to remember is as we engage in spiritual path and practice, basically we are trying to do two things. Either to find liberation and enlightenment. The two things are what we call purification practice and accumulation practice. We are trying to purify ourselves of negativities and afflictive emotions, right? And we are trying to accumulate merit and wisdom. And offering water bowls is a part of accumulating merit. Okay? And so it helps us in that sense. Now, in the case of Vajrasattva meditation recitation, this is really very much involved in tantric practice. Okay, so when we think about what is one of the most powerful ways to do purification practice from tantric point of view, then oftentimes what is said is that we should do Vajrasattva meditation and recitation. Yeah, or if you are bent upon purifying yourself of Bodhisattva transgressions or the vows of transgressing Bodhisattva vows, then oftentimes people teachers would say that you should do confession in front of 35 Buddhas of confession. You can recite that long prayer and do prostrations. Okay. So different practices are recommended sometimes for different, different purposes of the goals. Yeah. Does that answer part of your question? Okay. Anybody need the mic? Somewhere there.
It's understandable that if you do calm abiding and you do analytical meditation. And you're a Buddhist, here, you get the result of hopefully down the line direct, understanding of enlightenment. Okay. If you're not a Buddhist, there's a lot of people who are doing this calm abiding meditation. Mm-hmm. It seems that in their realm and their understanding, they should also not do it by itself, but also should do calm abiding and a form of analytical to get an understanding of their realization to get, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tarva
Generally speaking, you know, calm abiding and or serenity. Now I have to learn a new language here. And spiritual insight are not something exclusive to Buddhist practices. Okay, it is acknowledged in Buddhist literature that non-Buddhist practitioners also, right, cultivate and do those two practices. Now, what you know, Buddhists talk about oftentimes is because our goal, one of the goals at least, is to achieve nirvana, to be free from samsara, then we must realize shunyata or sunata, emptiness as it is. That the non-Buddhists don't really talk about. Okay? So therefore, oftentimes, when we talk about special insight of vipassana, we oftentimes try to, relate that to realization or understanding emptiness, so that we will be able to free ourselves from samsara. But special insight doesn't have to be, you know, the insight into emptiness, it can be insight into some other realities of the truth. So what you said is right. In other non-Buddhist practices, so there are calm abiding or serenity and, you know, spiritual insight practice. And then, you know, achieve whatever their goals, you know.
But it's also the same recommendation that they should do both to get the best result, not just one.
In
terms of the processes, it's just the same. You're right. They probably have to do both to be able to achieve their results. And in terms of the process, there's nothing Buddhist about the process per se. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to adapt it to the Buddhist purpose, right? If our goal is different, our purpose is different. So therefore, we might focus on different things, such as emptiness, which they don't focus on. Otherwise, the processes would be the same. Yeah. Maybe one more question. All right, maybe not. Okay, back to our Chan master.
O peerless Savior and Supreme Teacher, Suddhodana's son, O the 17 masters and adepts, Nagarjuna and Asanga and so on, O Dipamkara, as well as Sovereign Father Tsongkhapa, gloriously appear here today to grant auspiciousness. On the great path leading to the heart of enlightenment, you've traversed by means of the perfect threefold discipline and have enhanced ever higher the realizations of the enlightened qualities. O glorious Guru, we offer our supplications at your feet. Pray, return gloriously to propagate the teaching of Lobsang by tying well the sash of monastic disciplinary precepts and generating the altruistic intention to free all beings. Engage in the tantric yogas of the two stages. Think of the unbearable pain of the sentient beings who are enveloped in the forces of five degenerations and to open wide the lotus grove of the Buddha's teachings. May your reincarnation appear soon as a source of merit for us. O infinite Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you are the embodiment of uncontaminated and immutable great bliss. Kindly pour on us now your blessings, rains of nectar from the great clouds of your pervasive, pure, and bright wisdom and compassion to eliminate our distress. We pray to you, an incomparable great hero who has perfectly realized within his mind the threefold ethics, a pure essence of the extensive system of Tathagata's teaching. He who has raised the parasol of Dharma in hundreds of directions. Your body is a sun of all wonderful qualities, but all of a sudden it set into solitary peace. You have committed before infinite Buddhas to work for Dharma and sentient beings. You could not have given up your commitment. However, your presence depends on the fortunes of disciples, for the power of dependent arising is inconceivable. Please reincarnate soon as a new light of Dharma, out of your compassion that never abandons us. Please return soon as a supreme spiritual guide, a treasure house of the immense teaching of Buddha, a voice that eloquently elucidates the teaching that suits individuals' disposition and capacities. Please return soon as a great Dharma king who will be known in all directions for smashing into pieces a mountain of misguided teachings and views through the power of your thunderbolt lightning of the three reasonings. Please return soon just like your previous self, an expert in the five major sciences of Buddhism, whose eloquent words and articulation of the teaching captivate the hearts of all the scholars and activate deep appreciation in pure enthusiastic minds. Please return soon as a spiritual guide, endowed with complete knowledge, kindness, and dedication in regard to the perfect view, meditation, and conduct, one who facilitates the opening of the blossom lotus that is the golden teaching of Tsongkhapa, by the power of the three infallible jewels, by the power of dependent arising of unchanging emptiness,
by the truth of our pure thoughts and devotion, may all our aspirations be spontaneously fulfilled.
Nam mô vô song cứu độ chí tôn bổn sư tịnh phạn thái tử. Nam mô 17 cao tổ chư hiền thánh tăng long thọ vô trước. Nam mô Dipakara cùng thông cơ pha tôn vương tù phụ, quang lâm đương chốn hiện tại hiện tiền ban truyền phước nhũ, thiên thang đạo lộ trực chỉ chân tâm kiến tánh đẳng giác. Ngài đã siêu việt do nghiêm túc giữ ba tạng giới luật, rồi lại phát huy bay bổng tuyệt vời bồ đề hạnh chứng. Tôn sư quang vinh tứ chúng thỉnh cầu gót sen lễ lạy, xin mau trở lại quang huy truyền bá giáo pháp lô sang, bằng sự thắt chặt đa giới nghiêm minh thiền môn tự viện. Rồi lại khởi tâm từ bi đại nguyện giải thoát chúng sanh, chuyên tin hành trì vũ già mật định nhị phần chứng đắc. Xin luôn thương tưởng thống khổ bất kham ba cõi hữu tình, thường bị bao phủ trao đạo khôn nguôi mãnh lực ngũ trược, đưa tay rộng mở bát sách nguồn sen gió lý Phật Đà. Xin mau tái sanh nhanh chóng hiện hành phước nguồn tứ chúng. Nam mô vô biên chư Phật chư Bồ Tát. Các ngài thị hiện bát ngát báu thân của chân đại lạc bất biến trong ngần, xin trải từ tâm vân cần phù hộ, mưa thánh thủy từ mây đại độ, đủ hệ bi tịnh phổ rạng ngời, tận diệt thống khổ tước thời, niệm danh ngài bậc đại hùng vô sánh, đã hoàn toàn chứng pháp tánh nơi tâm, ba tạng giới luật cốt thủy uy thâm của đại thừa Như Lai truyền giáo, ngài nâng cao lòng vòng pháp bảo, chăm hướng vươn lan tỏa muôn phương, báu thân ngài chối nhòa phẩm hạnh. Sau bỗng nhiên nhập cảnh Bích Chi, ngài từng trước Phật Thế Nghi hứa luôn hoằng pháp làm vì độ sanh. Nay ngài hẳn không đành bỏ nguyện, tùy phước đệ tử mà ngài hiện thế, lý nhân duyên chẳng thể nghĩ bàn, xin mau hóa sanh thành ánh đạo vàng, từ bi mãi chẳng bỏ đàn bơ vơ, xin mau trở lại là đại đạo sư, như kho tàng chứa kinh thư vô lượng, lời tuyên giảng soi đường pháp bảo, khế căn cơ thiện xảo độ sanh, xin mau trở lại là đại pháp vương, lừng danh kim cổ mười phương tán đồng, phá tan núi mị pháp lồng tà kiến, tam đoạn luật xét nghiến sấm vang, xin mau trở lại như thân đời trước, đắc ngũ minh kiến thức uy thâm, biện tài vô ngại lý giải pháp âm, học giả khẩu phục hằng thâm, thiện giả cảm nhận hồng ân nước lòng, xin mau trở lại là bậc đạo sư, thiên thư thông thái mẫn từ tận tâm, chánh kiến định mạng chuyên cần, ươm sen hé nhị hương lân pháp đàn, của tông khách ba ý ngọc lời vàng, do thần lực tam bảo liên ứng, do thần lực duyên khởi tương ưng, với tánh không bất nhị bất trùng, do tâm lực chí thành cùng kính ngưỡng, xin cho sở nguyện chúng đệ tử được tức thời viên mãn.
At 7:30, we will be doing what is called chalk offering to commemorate the first anniversary of His Most Eminent Lhasa Rinpoche, passing away. So, if you're able to participate, please do bring, some fruits or, healthy stuff. Probably you prefer that, right? To make offerings and then, share with everybody else. So tomorrow. And yes, next week we will go back to the earlier, I guess it's the volume number one. So I'll call it just to be easy, right? Volume number one, volume number three. Okay, so you know what we're doing. We're alternating between those two. Easy. All right. Next Sunday is one day Mayana precepts. Start at what time?
Before sunrise.
So what does that mean? When does the sun rise? Now I'm trying to be like my student in the class. They're like, so what does that mean?
It's put it in the calendar.
Okay, it will be on the calendar whenever the sun is going to come out that Sunday. Yeah. So you have to be here before the sun comes out. Beat the sun.